Okay, page 306 of from OAs for today, November 1st. One word frees us from all the weight and pain of life. That word is love. And I don't know how to say that name. How do you, anybody know how to say that?
Sophocles. Sophocles.
Sophocles. Thank you. Just want to make sure we gave credit where credit was due. Sometimes the word does not have to be spoken, it is felt. Small children are picked up and hugged. A warm, tender tone of voice can say anything and bespeak love. And more, when the milk is spilled, the new toy broken, the rug stained, love is cleaning up that mess quietly without recrimination and mutual understanding that accidents can't be helped. An OA shared at a meeting at an incident that took place at her birthday party when she was 5 years old. She burped, and her brother called her a pig. She felt so humiliated, she wanted to run from the table. But her father went to her and gave her a hug and whispered, "It's okay." That power of her father's love far outweighed the sting of her brother's remark. Love is a great deal more than saying, "I love you." For today, how do I show love? What a great reading today. And it was a great reading, and yet I move on, a compulsive overeater. And yet it was really hard because I wanted to kind of gear my talk around that or my share around that. And it's something that I've always struggled with. Not that I didn't want to show love or receive love, just that I guess from the way I grew up, it made it a little bit difficult. So let's go ahead and get started on the share. So I guess I have to give you a little bit of history from my childhood. And as I've heard in these rooms, I guess I'm very common in my experience in some ways to some people. And that is that, my family went through divorce and there was a lot of dysfunction in those events of divorce and separating the families and that sort of thing. And both of my parents grew up with parents that were raging alcoholics and were not the most honest people, and they were volatile and angry. And so my parents, they grew up learning from that how to be parents. And so when it got to me and my family, that dysfunction carried forward. And although I today believe my parents loved us greatly, they just didn't know how to do it very well. And it took me many, many years to find forgiveness around that. The things I'm going to share now is not to say, it's not for you to feel sorry for me. It's just a way of giving you some background so you can understand how I was formed and kind of what shaped me and what kind of propelled me forward. And so, in terms of love, my parents didn't know how to demonstrate it well, physically or mentally. I just give you a couple of examples with my dad. He had a way, I call it, I don't have a polite term for this, but it's kind of mind messing up. I have another word with starts with an F, but he had a way of doing some real bad mind games. And so he would say things to me like, "Levon, you're like a knife in my back, always twisting and causing pain." I was like 6 years old when he began telling me these things, Or when at one point we were in a restaurant and he looked across the street and he said, "Oh my God, look, there's your mom. See, she doesn't want you kids. She wants nothing to do with you. She wants Debbie, but she doesn't want you." So this is the kind of things that he would do. And so we really felt, well, I can't speak for my brother, but I know that he and I went through a lot of this together. So I know that, he also experienced it. And then he would do other things when we would want to go stay with our mom or whatever. He would do really cruel, cruel things to us. And so with my mom didn't know how to touch me. She didn't know how to love me. She didn't know how to say, "I love you." She didn't, there was just a lot of that. And she had a huge preference toward my sister. And it was just, for whatever reason, that's what happened. With my stepmom, she would do things like put me in her dresses. My stepmom was probably about 4 feet 2 inches tall, and I was already at age 12. I was probably close to 5'7". And so she'd try to put me in her clothes, and of course I wouldn't fit. And then she would say, "See how fat and ugly you are." And so, or she would say, you know, if I didn't want to eat meat because for some reason it didn't do well with me, she'd say, "You're lazy, you don't know how to chew." So these are the kind of dysfunctional messages that I received, and that's not loving. And so what happened was I ended up not loving myself, and I ended up very closed off, and I turned off my emotions and I turned to food. Now, the one thing that they did really well was they all cooked really well and they made sure we had lots of food. And so that's how I, you know, that was how I saw them showing me love, was with the food. And I dove into that food and I got as much of that love as I possibly could. Okay, so now through all of that, this is where I'm going. So through all of that, I learned to be a victim. Oh my God, I learned how to be a victim. And at the time, it was important because that's how I survived. You know, there was a purpose for that. And when I say I learned how to be a victim, I closed off. I felt really sorry for myself. I turned off my emotions. I would not ask for anything. I would try to be a wallflower. I got depressed, severely depressed. I was suicidal most of my life. So I became a victim. And I didn't really participate in life. Now I look back and I see that. When what and then, you know, when I did that, as an adult now, I look back and I'm like, okay, you know, what was my payoff? Well, first of all, I was not seen, so I tried to just protect myself in that way. But also, you know, I didn't feel like I had to take responsibility for anything. I didn't have to step up to the plate and take care of myself. Nobody had a right to have expectations of me. And again, I went into this really bad depression and suicidal as an adult, very suicidal. So I just held on to that victimhood as if it was my God. I mean, it was the only thing that gave me comfort. And I can't just explain it any better than that. It's just what happened. Over time, I was in and out of OA. I remember at 18, I went to a meeting. And now I look back and I'm like, I think that was an OA meeting. I can't tell you for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was an OA meeting. But I got at it. I went that one night and that was over. And then over time, you know, I did all the things other people do. I did pay and ways. I starved myself. I threw up. I don't even need to go into my drunkalogue around that, but because we all know about these things. And I tried every single thing, and the money I spent is just amazing. I wish I could get that money back. And it never worked. And over time, I bloomed up to what I believe is my highest weight was right around 440 pounds. My highest known weight was 385 pounds on the scale. But I know that before I finally got brave enough to weigh at that weight, I had been two pant sizes heavier, and every pant size is about, you know, two, and I would say, and that two pant sizes heavier, but man, I could barely breathe in that upper size. So I'm guesstimating I was about 100, 440 pounds. And that's just based on my experience with my clothes and knowing what my body did. And so I was really sick. And so in and out of these rooms, in and out of other try to miracle things. And finally, right before COVID hit, I got into these rooms and I was so desperate. And I was so desperate because the doctors were telling me I was going to be dead soon. And they told me I needed to do something very desperate to get this weight off because I was having health issues. I was having tachycardia. I was having kidney issues. I was having all sorts of intestinal issues. I had sleep apnea, severe sleep apnea. Oh, there's more, and I just can't think of it off the top of my head, but I was very, very sick, and I wasn't going to be meant for this life very much longer. And so, you know, we figured out a plan and we went forward with that. But the miracle here, you know, many of you know I had gastric bypass surgery. That was the miracle. But I tell you, I went through the not the miracle, excuse me. That was a tool. The miracle's completely separate. But I needed that desperate measure to get forward in order to get to the not to get to the miracle, but to survive long enough, right? And so I went through they put you through the rigorous program to be able to get that surgery. It's not easy. And I ended up doing it three full times before I finally decided to have the surgery because I kept saying to myself, what's going to stop me from going back to eating? What? Because I knew enough to know that I was a sick person. I knew enough to know that I couldn't do it on my own. And I knew that I could have that surgery, but I'd end up right back where I was. I knew enough for that. I knew I was just crazy enough to know that. And so finally, that third one, it was right before COVID, and I went through, I only had to go to see a counselor one time for that program, a psychologist. They passed me, but I kept going for 6 months to every month, twice a month, I went to that psychologist during that period and on that last time through. And then also, it was right before COVID, and I started this program. And I was so desperate because I thought, I knew I was going to die. And so I prayed and I prayed and I'm like, God, please help me. Please help me find the right meeting that speaks to me that I'll want to stay. And I'm going to tell you, I tried to get into two or three meetings, Zoom meetings that day, couldn't get in for whatever reason. And the next thing I know, I was in a Skivvy meeting. It was the Wednesday night step study Skivvy meeting. And I said, as soon as in my prayer, I was saying, if the first person that speaks to my heart, I'm going to ask to be my sponsor. And I'm going to tell you, it all happened that night. And I've been coming steadily ever since. There's been times I've had, a surgery and I wasn't here for a little while, or something happened. I wasn't here for, a week or whatever, but I've been steady. And so through that process now, I've learned so much. And at first, I was still into the mindset that it was a diet program. It took me years since that being in steadily to realize, no, this is a spiritual program. I needed that connection with God in order to be healed. That is not a diet program. That will come. That will just be a natural, something that would happen because I'm working the program and I'm connected to God and I'm using my tools and my steps and the program. That would just be something that would happen naturally, the weight would come off once I, was connected. And for me, the weight came off because of that surgery, but also I had to learn a new way of life because I knew, I know that it's only a matter of time before, if I don't follow this program and I'm not in this meeting and I'm not connected to my creator, I'm going to have that mental twisted thinking going on and I'm going to be doomed. I'm going to go right back to where I was. I know this without a doubt because I know me and I know I have a disease and I know that disease is out there doing push-ups waiting for that opportunity. And so what do I do today? Well, first of all, I learned that I don't want to be a victim. And it took me all these years to figure that out in this program that, not holding on to that victimhood and working my program, I feel empowered and I feel so much happier. And so part of what came from this program is that I live today happy, joyous, and free. And I don't have depression. I am not suicidal. I can't even imagine who that person was now. But I look back at it and it's like I can understand how that person developed, but thank God I was able to get a connection with a power greater than myself to go forward and to find healing and love and compassion in these rooms and to hear your stories and to heal and to move forward and not be a victim. I don't have to be a victim. And many of you have heard me talk over time about one of the biggest things I learned is that, I have no control or responsibility. I'm going to say, back that up in a minute. Over my reactions. I can't control my reactions. And my reactions, what I've learned today is that it all comes from fear. I don't even have to unpeel the onion anymore. I don't even have to go down that line to figure out, well, what's going on for me? What's happening? I just go right to fear. And I'm like, every time it's fear. So if I'm not feeling good about myself, or if I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling discontented, or I'm feeling resentful, it all comes down to fear of why am I not feeling good about myself? Why do I think I'm going to lose something? Why do I feel like there's a danger? It always goes to fear. So I've really cut out the middleman and I go right to fear. And I'm like, okay, now what can you do for yourself? So that's my reaction. I can't do anything about the reaction. It happens. It's a natural part of my body and my mind, my spirit. What I am responsible for is my response to that. And what I've developed over time is my response. And my response is what I'm learning in these rooms. My response is to go to God, pray, to go to these meetings, be of service. To write, to work with my sponsor, to sponsor. I mean, that's what I'm learning in these rooms. I have so many things available to me now to stay out of that reaction and go right to my response. And I have tools that I can use. And that's what I choose to do today. Now coming back to love, how does that tie back into that? Well, I'm now able to love my parents in a way I couldn't love them before. I have compassion for them. I have compassion for the way they were raised and the way their parents were raised. And I have compassion for, They didn't do a great job. I mean, in some ways they did, and in a lot of ways they didn't. They did damage, but at the same time they were damaged. And so, I pray for their spirits, and I pray for their, healing, and that if there is another life, that they come back and they don't have to go experience that again, and they can be better then. And I pray for that for me, because I look at how I raised my daughter, and I raised her with a lot more love. And I think my parents probably raised me with a lot more love than they had, when I know now that I know their experiences. So I've learned to love and forgive them. And in doing that, I've learned to love and forgive myself, because I have abandoned myself all over the place in my life. And so I learned to hate myself. And from their messages too, I learned to hate myself. But in the forgiveness for them and the love for them, I've now learned to forgive myself and love myself and realize that I did what I did to get through this life. And so today, I choose to do something different. And today I choose to put my faith somewhere different and love myself. And now, how does that go forward? Well, when I love myself, I can love others more. And so, I still struggle with being a critical person, and I work on that every single day. But one of the things I do is I make sure I tell people how much I love them. And even sometimes strangers, I'll have a conversation with somebody and they touch my heart, and I just tell them, the time that you took to share that with me and share a little bit of your life with me, I have to tell you, I have a great love for you. And I will tell them that, because I want people to know it. And I smile at them, and I tell people, things that I think are just wonderful about them, because I want them to know love too. And so that's how I demonstrate that. And also, as a dedicated compulsive overeater who is in recovery, and trying not to do that, I love to feed people. I love to cook for them and feed them and show them love that way too. And it took me a long time to say that was okay, but they have their own God and their own programs and their own lives, and so they will deal with that on their own. And I will just feed them and love them, and I'm not asking them to overeat. I just want to show them that's one of my love languages, so I love to do that. And I allow myself to have feelings today, and
5 minutes remain.
thank you so much. And it's okay to have feelings, and so I love myself and allow that to happen. And when I have the old talk come up, that's just a reaction. I kind of got out of line or out of order here, but that's one of the things I wanted to say too, is I used to have horrible self-talk, and it was just so natural it would come up, and I'd even sometimes verbalize it outside out loud about myself. But I don't do that anymore, and I don't even have the urge to do that anymore, because it's not necessary. And so I show myself love in that way as well. And then with God, I show God my love by living amends and doing things differently today. And I used to have such guilt about my feelings of suicide, like I used to have so much. But today I look at it and I recognize that I can share the fact that I found healing with others, and I can say, this is my reality. This is what happened in my life. It's not to say I'm a victim anymore, not to have people feel sorry for me. It's just to say this is the road I trudged on and got through, and I survived. I came out the other end, and it's because of God and this program. And so that's why I share those stories. It's not for any other purpose. It's just to say, when we're at our lowest and we feel horrible, there is a way out. And we shouldn't feel bad about our journey. We should understand that that's what made us who we are. And that's what I do today. I don't look at it with self-condemnation anymore. I look at it like, what? I like who I am today, but I had to go through all of that before to be who I am today. And so that's why I share it with you. I share it with love, and I want you all to know that I just love all of you so much, and I'm so grateful for those parts of you that you share with me, good, bad, or ugly, in these rooms. And because you're helping me stay alive, you're helping me get through this life and do things differently. And hopefully, with when I share from my heart, that you feel that love with, that I'm sharing with you things that I used to be so ashamed of, but I share it willingly and with love, because I hope that it helps you in some small way going forward in your journey as well. And if I can ever be there for you, I will be. So that's what I have to share today. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. And let me see where I'm at here on my little.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. So I've already shared. We will now have the treasurer's report and the seventh tradition.